Hallelujah.
Welcome, everyone, to Arise Family Church, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. We have been on a series called Newness of Life, Taking New Territory. And our theme scriptures, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing." Hallelujah. Say new thing. New thing. Amen. "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." And so he's making a road for us that's taking us somewhere. A road where there was no road before. And he's teaching us how to build this road. Right? It's not just him making the road. It's us working together with him and with our words of praise and with our words of faith and with our words of praise. Praying in the Spirit. We are building this road. I remember years ago, hearing people talking about as we prayed in the Spirit. We're praying out the mysteries. They would talk about how God is building this road. We're praying out mysteries, his will and his plan for our life. And if we quit praying in other tongues, we find we'll get to the end of the road and there'll be all these, you know, road closed, or there's, you know, the end of the road and all the equipment is still sitting there. Because we quit praying in the Holy Ghost, we quit building this road for our future. But as we're praying in the Spirit, God is able to build and continually build this road out ahead of us. So there's always road for us to move on, move forward in. Amen. Praying in the Holy Ghost, and he leads and directs it, and we don't have to figure out where to go. We just need to work with him, walk with him, and follow this road. He's building a road. We're building a road with him, with us, him and us building this road. He said, "I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." It looks dry and it looks lifeless. But he's able to build and produce and cause rivers in our desert. Life and water to flow in our desert. Hallelujah. And then chapter 42, verse 9. So this a couple weeks ago, I was like, yeah, we're going to add this one too. Verse 9 says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass." So in other words, we are where we are. They've come to pass. "But a new thing I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them." In other words, one of the things that he does in regards to these new things is he tells us ahead of time. Why? So he can do them. He lets us know ahead of time. And so we've been talking about the sound of an abundance of rain. We've been talking about the rain of righteousness. We've been talking about justice. We've been talking about God setting things right, putting things right, and making things right. And now he's ahead of time beginning to talk to us about newness of life and taking new territory. Why? Because he's letting us know ahead of time where he is taking us. Amen? And so we've talked about three requirements for this newness of life and taking new territory. And one is it requires God. Number two, it requires his direction. And number three, it requires action. And then last week we talked about the importance of an encounter with God. Right? An encounter with God. And we found out that an encounter with God comes through hungering and thirsting and seeking after him. And then, as we have an encounter with God, we saw how God revealed to Moses the plan, the mission, and the purpose as the encounter with God happened in his life. And then an encounter with God at the Red Sea, it required action. God was there and they were all gathered, and it's like, God, we need your help. And he told Moses, he said, what are you just all gathering here calling out for my help? He says, go, move forward, move on, be on your way, start moving forward. He says, I can't do much more until you start to move. And if we look at Joshua, the same thing. They were at the Jordan River, and God said, listen, you're going to have to get the priest carrying the ark, and they have to start walking into the Jordan. And the moment their feet touch the water, it's going to start to split. It's not going to split ahead of time. You have to go forward. You need to start walking. And as you start walking and moving forward and taking action, then God is going to be able to start to move. Amen. He's responding to our act of faith. And then we saw Moses again, an encounter. Moses said, I'm not going anywhere without you. Right? So don't send us if you're not going. Because what is going to distinguish us from everyone else but the fact that you are with us? Amen? And for us, you know, today, what distinguishes us from anyone else but the fact that God is with us? God is living in us. Amen? And so, I mean, we just had a funeral. My uncle moved to heaven. And we're going to miss him. But the other side of the coin, the flip side of the coin is, he's in heaven. And like I said, he left his crutches behind. Yeah. In other words, you don't take it with you. And so he's no longer on his crutches. Whole life except for like a brief moment with crutches. But now he's free. He's running and swimming and jumping down and climbing trees of life and so on and so forth. I mean, there's just, we have no idea how exciting and how amazing life is at this very moment. And so he says, I'm not going if you're not going, because the only thing that distinguishes me from anyone else is that you are with me. And so, you know, the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, said, we grieve not like those who have no hope. So we miss him, but we have hope. There's a hope. God has given us a hope. Hallelujah. And so whatever it might be in our life, God has produced and given us the answer. He's given us hope. He's given us victory. He's given us triumph. He's given us wisdom. He's given us healing and health and deliverance and freedom and liberty. Amen? He has given us. And so there is something different. There is something that distinguishes us from everyone else, and that is the fact that he is with us. He is in us. We are his, and he is ours. Amen? And then Moses said, show me your glory. And we found out that the glory of God equipped him to go, to do, and to accomplish, and to succeed in the will and the plan of God, his destiny. And we watched the testimony of Richard Moore and found out until the fire of God fell, the glory of God fell, that his life was, it was frustrating. He called himself an evangelist, but he said, I mean, for years and years, whatever it was, 5 years or so, he's preaching, you know, all the time, and nobody's getting saved and nobody's getting healed. He says, what kind of an evangelist is that? Right? And when the fire of God fell, the glory of God fell on him, then everything changed. Everything changed. And so it's very important that we're talking about newness of life. We are not stuck in the past. We're not stuck in the way things were last year, the way things were the year before, the way things have been for 5 years. You know, we're not stuck. We're not stuck. We're talking about newness of life. We're talking about taking new territory in our lives. We're talking about breaking out. He's bringing us out to bring us in. He's bringing us out of something to bring us into something better. Amen? Our best days are ahead of us, not behind us. So, I want to talk about the nitty-gritty today, just some nitty-gritty details. What does the word nitty-gritty mean? It means what is essential and basic, specific, practical details, or the most important aspects or practical details of a subject or situation. So we're going to get into some important details. And one of them is that newness of life and taking new territory cannot happen with old thinking. Spirit of God just mentioned that to me. He said, listen, you can't take new territory with old thinking. Because the old thinking got us into where we are now. The old thinking has brought us as far as we are now. And if we continue to have old thinking, we will not break any barriers. We will not take new territory. We will not get into more newness of life. So we need new thinking for newness of life and taking new territory. And so let's go to Matthew chapter 3. And you understand, just before Jesus came, when Jesus came, everything changed. But before Jesus came, God had established a person by the name of John to do what? To begin making a way. Yeah, paving a way. And so we see John chapter 3 and verse 2. Well, let's just start in verse 1. And those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so then Jesus came. And chapter 4 and verse 17 says, exact same thing. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So, say the word repent. Repent. So we're going to come back to that. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Let's see what Mark has to say about this. Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. And then we see the same words that were used in Matthew, saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So it's interesting, Jesus never preached the gospel of Christ. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And it's interesting, the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom. The word gospel in the Greek is a non-religious word. It is taken on a religious connotation because it means good news. But it was used here. But it was not normally used with the way they were using it. It was normally used, it's a non-religious word meaning good news. And it's in the context of a new kingdom or empire that has conquered and the good things that that administration will bring to its people. So when a new king overtook, a new empire came in and they basically took over the country, they would preach the gospel. And the gospel was the good news of what this new empire was going to do for you, its people. So Jesus shows up on the scene and he says, listen, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's time for you to believe the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus is saying there is a new king, a new kingdom, a new way of doing things that has come. And I'm going to start talking and teaching you and showing you about the good things of the kingdom of God for you. And he began to preach the gospel of the kingdom. That's all he preached, was the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom of God. Because they've been so used to just rules and regulations, the law. You need to do these things. Galatians chapter 3 tells us that the law was established as a tutor just to guard and protect us until faith or until Christ came. Once faith in Christ came, then we were no longer under the tutor. In other words, we didn't need the law to protect us anymore because we actually have the real thing. We actually now have experienced the real thing. Remember when we talked about the type and the shadow? And how Jesus is the real thing that's the shadow is of? He's the real thing. So now that we've got him, hallelujah. Matthew chapter 4. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. We have him. We have the real thing. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. So remember verse 17, he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Verse 23, this is Jesus' ministry, and I heard this even at Bible school. Jesus' ministry was teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching, preaching, and healing. It's threefold, teaching, preaching, and healing. And so if we want to do the ministry of Jesus, we ought to be teaching, preaching, and healing. But if read that more, what was he teaching? Well, the Bible says, and Jesus went about all Galilee doing what? Teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What was he preaching? What was he proclaiming? What was he publishing? What was he announcing? The gospel of the kingdom. This is what Jesus did, teaching, preaching, and healing. And his preaching, his proclaiming was the gospel, the good news of the kingdom. And how it's going to benefit each and every one of us. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. And healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. This is what Jesus did. And then I just read through the book of Acts. I think that was a couple months ago. And hearing about the gospel of the kingdom, I've been hearing more about this, you know, the last few years. As I'm reading through the book of Acts, 8 times kingdom is used in the book of Acts. 6 of the 8 times kingdom is used in the book of Acts. It is about speaking and preaching, publishing, proclaiming the things concerning the kingdom of God. 6 times. As you read through the book of Acts, and you think all they're talking about is Jesus. Well, yes, but see, it's bigger. They're preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of this new king. This good news of this new administration. The good news of the kingdom of God. We've been beamed and translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. Kingdom of light. Kingdom of his dear son. It's the kingdom of God. We have a new king. And there are benefits. There are good things that are ours as citizens of that kingdom. Hallelujah. Legal rights. Matthew chapter 6. And verse 10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So they preached and published and proclaimed this good news of good things. He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So his will, this is talking about the will of God. His will is the good things. Amen. What are the good things that this kingdom has got for us? Well, it's his will. So if we can find out his will, we would find out the good things that this kingdom has to offer us as citizens of this kingdom. Right? Because see, we serve a good king. This is not a selfish, a bad king, you know, someone that came in who's just wanting to oppress us. No, this is a good king who's come to give his life for us. And so there's good things in this kingdom, the kingdom of God, for us. And then we see in verse 33, verse 32 says, listen, all these things the Gentiles or the nations seek after, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But he said, in order to get them, don't seek after them. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So he said, we're supposed to seek first the kingdom, and the kingdom is a place. The kingdom is the domain or the dominion of our king. And so we find out about our king. We find out about his kingdom. We find out about the way things function and operate in his kingdom. We find out his righteousness. What does that mean? Well, that's the right way of doing things. Amen? There is a right way. There is a kingdom way of doing things. And so the kingdom of God has a new way of doing things based on a new way of thinking. Amen. Jesus began to reveal a new way of thinking. And the religious leaders had a fit. Because he would show up and heal someone on the Sabbath. And they would say, you know, you can't do that. And he said, but if you have a donkey or something that falls in a hole, don't you pull it out? Well, yeah. Well, ought not this woman who's a child, a daughter of Abraham, ought not she be loosed on the Sabbath day, just like you would loose your donkey to get some water and so on and so forth? Well, yeah, but no, that does, no, that, yeah, no, no. He's bringing a new way of thinking. Why? Because he's wanting them to take new territory. He's wanting them to experience newness of life. And in this kingdom, we have to experience newness of thinking in order to obtain and experience newness of life and take new territory. And so Jesus began to reveal to them the Father. The Father. God is not just God, but God is a loving heavenly Father. They've never heard that before. He's beginning to describe and explain and reveal the character of God. He's not just an old guy who's mad all the time. You know, if you don't just do it this way, I'm going to kill you. No, there was a specific way under the law that you needed to do it so you would stay alive, is really what it was. It's called love. But they didn't understand that. And so now he's beginning to reveal to them the Father. And he's beginning to reveal to them how to live from our heart. In other words, this new kingdom is not just, can you see this? God said to Moses, I want you to bring the people, and I'm going to come down on the mountain. I'm going to reveal myself to the people, and you can all be priests. You can all come to me. But right now, don't let them come. They can't touch the mountain, because if they're going to die. So keep them away, but I want to come and I want to visit with them. I want to hang out with them. And he came down on the mountain, and the mountain just, there was an earthquake, and there was smoke, and there was fire, and there was lightning, and God showed up on the mountain, and it just quaked and shaked, and the people backed up, and they said, Moses, 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 we're afraid. You talk to God and just tell us what he said. And here once again, God showed up in Jesus. The Son came saying, the Father wants to meet with you. The Father wants to hang out with you. He loves you. He's revealing a side that they didn't know. How to live from your heart, how to have a relationship, fellowship and relationship with him. A new way of thinking, of love, and of faith, and of forgiveness, and of joy, and rest, and the abundant life. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. They didn't know about the devil. God did good, God did bad. God gives, God takes away. I mean, that was their concept. There was limited revelation. But God is beginning to, Jesus has come and he's beginning to teach and show us, revealing the good news of the kingdom of God. Revealing and teaching new ways and new ways of thinking, because they didn't know these things. The thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Know the difference. Know the difference. In the kingdom, there are good things that he has for us. And that's all Jesus preached. Teaching, preaching, and healing. And that preaching was the gospel of the kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. So God got Israel, I said this before, God got Israel out of Egypt. But the problem was that Israel, they did not get Egypt out of them. And Jesus is trying to get Egypt, or we can say the world, out of Israel. He's trying to get them to change their thinking so they can experience newness of life. So because Israel did not get Egypt out of them, they never made it into the promised land, but they died in the wilderness. That's not God's plan. That was not his will for them. But they would not accept a new way of thinking. Because they would not accept a new way of thinking, a kingdom way of thinking. All they did was completely and continued to complain. We want to go back to Egypt, and you brought us out here to die. You brought us out here to die. We wish we were back in Egypt. And so finally, after years of that, God finally said, okay, you can have what you say. You will die in the wilderness. And I'm going to take the younger generation into the promised land. If that's what you believe, and that's what you keep saying, and that's what you want, you will die here. You can have what you say. And they did. So let's go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We see two individuals. The first one being, the angel came to Mary. The angel said very profound and very unbelievable things to Mary. And she said, how can that be? And he explained it to her, and she said, okay. And so when she went to visit her aunt, we see in verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe, which was John the Baptist, leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Verse 45, blessed is she who believed. Say believed. Believed. For there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. She believed God, and there will be a fulfillment of the things that you believed that he said. Amen? So, Mary accepted this new thinking that the angel brought to her. Like, this is really out there. The angel showed up and told her things that she'd never thought before. This is not her thing. This is not normal thinking. But he told her, you're going to get pregnant. She said, how can that be? And he said, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you. The power of God's going to come on you and going to overshadow you. And the thing that's born in you is going to be of God. And she goes, wow, okay. If you say so. She just believed God. But then, if we go back to verse 5, it says, there was in the days of Herod, king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah. His wife was of the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walked in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division. In other words, his time came. Meaning what? According to the custom of the priesthood, his lot fell on to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So in other words, his time came for him to do this. Okay, it was they didn't always do it, and it was always a different person all the time. And all of a sudden, it was his turn. The lot fell on him. It was his turn. And so, while the multitude, whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense, he's inside burning incense at the altar, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. And you shall have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will also be filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb, and he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will also go before him in the sight Spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And Zechariah said to the angel, "Really? How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel said to him, answered and said to him, "Listen, I'm Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But, behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." Mary believed, and the prophetic word was, because she believed, there will be a fulfillment of the things which were told her from the Lord. Zechariah did not believe. Zacharias did not believe. And so he was mute for 9 months. God shut his mouth. Why? Because him and his wife were chosen. To have this son, but this son had to be born because he had to be born just a little bit before Jesus, and he had to prepare this way for the Messiah. And so it was very important that this not get messed up. But Zacharias didn't believe the angel, and so it's like, okay, this is going to happen, but we're going to shut your mouth because we don't need you messing up this event. Like there is a schedule. You are part of a schedule. Like there are some things that there's no schedule. It's just we believe we receive, and if we don't believe that we receive, we just do without it. But there's a schedule. There's something important here. There's some pieces of the puzzle that are needed, and they need to go in place in the right time. And so it's like, okay, this isn't going to happen, but I'm going to shut your mouth because you cannot mess this up with your words. Your words. Your words of doubt and unbelief can mess up the will and the plan of God. So what are we seeing here? In the kingdom of God, part of this new way of thinking is to believe and speak what God says is God's way of doing things. To believe and speak what God says is God's way of doing things. The kingdom has a culture. The kingdom has a way by which it functions and operates. And so we must understand this new thinking, this this new way of doing things. So what I'm not saying is that we have to forget everything and that we just need new thinking and no more old thinking. No, no, no. Brother Hagin began to find out that healing was the will of God. And he was reading in the book of Mark and came to Mark chapter 5 where the woman with the issue of blood received her healing. She came and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment and she felt in her body that she was healed. And Jesus said, "Daughter, your faith has made you whole." And the Spirit of God began to talk to him and say, if her faith can make her whole, your faith can make you whole. See, because he was struggling with this healing thing because he had ministers come. He had all these diseases, this blood disease, this heart condition, and he was dying, and he was 16 years old, and they told him that he wasn't going to live very long. And so he was wanting to be healed. He didn't want to die at 16. So he's wanting some hope, at least from the preachers. And the preachers were just, they came and said, you know, God doesn't do that anymore. Miracles are gone. Healing's gone. The last apostle died, and you know, that all died with, gone with them. And God doesn't do that anymore. And so he's just comforting the family, you know what, get ready for him to die. And we just, you know, hope, you know, you're comforted. He's not wanting to die, and so he makes it to Mark chapter 5, and the Lord said, have you ever heard anyone say that faith is done away with? You know, if miracles and healing and that is done away with, but have you ever heard anyone say that faith is done away with? And he said, well, no, I haven't. The Lord said, you never will, because you can only be saved by faith, right? So, I mean, the faith is not going to go away. But he said, now, if you understand, if faith is not done away with and she got healed by faith, then you can get healed by faith. See, her faith got her healed. Your faith can get you healed. And so he began this faith journey and he, you know, okay, then I believe God. And God said, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And he's laying in bed and he's still not any better. And he began to talk to the Lord and said, you said, if I believe that I receive, I'll be healed. And I'm still laying here sick, but I believe. And if you told me and you walked into the room and stood right here and said, you don't believe, I'd have to say you're a liar because I believe. And you know I believe. And the Lord said, yes, you do believe as far as you know. In other words, you don't know enough, but you do believe as far as you know. And as far as you know is not enough to get you out of your bed, but you do believe. And so he began to teach him more. So newness of thinking is not necessarily a big, giant change of everything. Sometimes it's just a little change. Just a little change. I just need some light and some revelation. I just need another piece. Apparently I'm missing a piece or two. Sometimes it's just a piece. You believe as far as you know. And so the Lord began to show him another piece. Amen? Another piece. Hallelujah. So, it's not a matter of completely changing what we think, but new thinking. New thinking is needed for this newness of life and taking new territory. And remember, I shared a number of different things. I shared about Bible school. No, I don't want to go to Bible school. But then I got some newness of thinking, filled with the Holy Ghost, praying in tongues, and all of a sudden, I accepted a new thought. Bible school is good for me. This is going to be fun. I'm going to enjoy this. I wanted to go to Bible school. And I didn't want to go to Rhema. No, I don't want to go to Rhema. I got this plan here. But then all of a sudden, this other little thought came. Three people said, you should go to Rhema. Finally, I just took the thought. Okay, I just considered the thought. I mean, I didn't even transform my thinking. It was just, I just considered the thought. And when I considered the thought and talked to my pastor about it and just asked, okay, how much does it cost? I've got that money already. Just considered the thought, the peace of God just went, whew, there's the peace of God. This is the plan of God. This is the will of God. I receive it. But just changing a little thought. Do I even have the financial ability to do it? Yes. Oh, consider the thought. Amen? And then when the Lord talked to my wife, when she talked to me about her, what about Audrey? Just three words. Just three words. What about Audrey? Three words. That's all the new thinking that I needed. The new thinking for newness of life and taking new territory. Huh? From single to married. New territory. Just took three words. What about Audrey? And I needed a few more words after that because then I said, yeah, I'm willing. Yeah, I'm willing. I'm willing. Ask me again. Yeah, I'm willing. Ask me again. Why do you keep asking me? He said, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? So then that's seven words. Three words started it off and seven words finished it off. What are you going to do about it? Oh, I'll give her a call. We'll get together. See, just new thinking. It doesn't have to be something big. Something is just a matter of sometimes we're moving in this direction and we're so focused on this direction and this is our plan and we're not even considering anything else. See, when I was pastoring in Ontario, my church, we got to that point where, you know, 30% of the income walked out the door, which was basically my salary. And so there was a whole year that I went without getting paid. And I talked to the Lord. I said, should I, you know, go work at the mall? He said, you already have a job. You already have work. I said, okay. So that settles it. This is what I do. And he provided for me, supplied. I said I had nine pieces of paper laid on the floor, and I had a scripture verse written on every one of them, and every single day, morning and night, sometimes in the afternoon, I would stand on each scripture and said, Lord, I'm standing on your word. This is what you said. You said you'll liberally supply everything I need. You said, you're my source, you're my provider. You said, you're taking care of me. You said, given it shall be given. You said, and I'm standing on his word, reminding him what he said. He took care of me. But I had this thought, maybe I should just connect with my buddy across town. He's also a Rhema grad, and connect with him. But I got rid of the thought real fast because I was disciplining myself. This was my thinking. I'm disciplining myself from trying to take the easy way out. The easy way. The easy way out. Let's just hook up with him and you know what, so I can get paid. I just take the easy way out. No, I'm going to trust you, Lord. Well, you know, sometimes the Lord is providing an easy way out for us, but we didn't understand it's him. Because it took months and months and months, probably 9, 10 months or so, before that pastor, we would get together and pray during the week. But he finally sat down with me one day and said, what do you think about our, you know, merging our churches together? They'd been praying about it, and this is what the Lord has said. What do you think about that? I said, oh. I said, well, let me pray about it. And as I began to pray about it, all of a sudden, took a few days fasting and prayer, and all of a sudden, the peace of God. Yeah, this is the plan. All right, this is the plan. But see, it's just a little new thought, but I got rid of the thought. Not knowing that it was of the Lord, I just got rid of the thought. And so he couldn't do anything. So he had to get the thought to me some other way, right? And so the other pastor, friend, came to me and said that thought. I said, okay, well, let me pray about it. And as I began to consider it and pray about it, then all of a sudden, we moved in that direction again. So it doesn't have to be a whole book of thoughts. It's just literally can be a sentence, it can be just a phrase, an idea, a business idea, contact idea, just a thought. that just comes that we need to act on so he can begin to move. Newness of thinking, new thinking for newness of life, and taking new territory. So, Mark chapter 4. Just back up to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 11. See, the kingdom has a culture, a way that it functions and operates. Verse 11 says, "And he said to them, 'To you it has been given to know the mystery or the secrets of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things are done in parables.' They came and asked him, and because they came asking and seeking for information, he said, 'It's available to you.' Those that didn't come to ask, it's just done in a parable, and they will just, you know, let the ignorant stay ignorant. But those that hungering and thirsting, those that came to ask for an answer, he said, 'The mystery or the secret of the kingdom is given to you.'" Then verse 14, "The sower sows the word." He begins to introduce the kingdom. This whole chapter is about kingdom. But he begins to introduce how the kingdom operates. The sower sows the word. The way we sow is with our words. The way we sow is with our words. That's one of the ways to sow. But he's saying this is how the kingdom operates. The kingdom is voice activated. We sow with our words. We plant with our words. And then he goes on to say in verse 26, and he said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man or a woman or someone should scatter seed on the ground, and they should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should sprout and grow." And he doesn't know how. "For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest is come." So he starts talking about the way we sow or the way we scatter seed is with our words, what we say. What we say. And what we say begins to produce results. It begins to grow. And so there's this new thinking, this kingdom way of doing things, this kingdom culture, how it functions and operates. We sow words by speaking. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13. "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believe and therefore I speak,' we also believe and therefore speak." The spirit of faith believes and speaks. The spirit of faith believes and speaks. We have the same spirit of faith. And so, this newness of thinking, this kingdom way of thinking, the thing that's going to help us move forward and take, enjoy newness of life and take new territory starts here. So this is the nitty-gritty. The spirit of faith believes and speaks. Not just believes. Because a lot of times, we have heard, especially in our company, we have heard lots of teaching. We have heard lots of preaching. We have heard a lot of good word. And we believe that word. But sometimes we get a little frustrated because it doesn't seem like a whole lot is changing. Lord, we believe that. We're like Brother Hagin. I believe it. Don't show up in my room and tell me I don't believe it. I believe it. We believe it. We believe it. Hallelujah. But it's not enough just to believe it. The spirit of faith believes and speaks. The spirit of faith believes and speaks. And so Mark Hankins talks about three kinds of people. He talks about museum keepers. He talks about settlers and talks about pioneers. Okay? And the museum keepers are the ones who are satisfied with dusting off the memories of the past. Okay? The museum keepers are satisfied with dusting off the memories of the past, meaning they're talking about the good old days and how good things were, and they just keep dusting off the memories of the past, and they're satisfied with doing that. Just gathering and talking about the good old days and what God did, you know what, at Azusa Street, and what God did with Smith Wigglesworth, and what God did with John G. Lake, and what God did, you know, talking about David and talking about Moses and Abraham, and just satisfied with talking about someone else, you know, Brother Copeland and Jerry Savelle, and talking about Jesse. And you know, so that we're just satisfied with dusting off the memories of the past and just rehearsing someone else's stories. And then the settlers. The settlers are ones that they find their comfort zone. And then they just settle there. You know, they find their comfort zone and then they build a house. You know, pave the driveway and park the car there, move the family there. We just settle here. It's comfortable. It's comfortable. We're just making it, you know. We're in the wilderness. We're no longer slaves in Egypt, but we're in the wilderness and we got just enough. You know, we're living paycheck to paycheck. We're making it. You know, we're basically healthy and you know, we're not dead. It's all right. We're doing pretty good. You know what? We're better than others. You know, we'll just settle. We're just settling comfort zone. You know, it's not bad. It's not bad. Now, it's not the good life, like what it talks about. It's not the good life, but it's not bad. Not bad. but he said the third group is the pioneers. And the pioneers are the ones who move forward. The pioneers are the ones who take new territory. The pioneers are not satisfied with just telling someone else's story. They're not just satisfied with what God told them last year, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. They're not satisfied with just settling in a comfort zone, being normal, average, and ordinary. The pioneers are ones who want more. Amen? They're like Moses. If you're not going with us, we're not going anywhere. We want you to go with us because we want to be distinguished. We want to demonstrate that you are our God, that you are with us. We want something more. We want something bigger. And Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see your glory. I want more of you. I want to experience you. I'm not just happy with, you know what, you showing me that verse, you know what, a year ago. I want more of you. I want to know more about you. I want to walk with you and talk with you. I want to visit with you. I want to be filled with you, filled with your fire. I want to make a difference. Amen? When I walk in the room, I want people to know, you know, God walked in. You know, when they walk in the room, they go, they came. Right? Because they know what they're doing. We can trust them at work. We can trust them at school. We can trust. There's something. They walk in the room. All right, we know things are going to get done. It'll be done well. It'll be done right. We want to be a light, a witness wherever we are, whatever we're doing. And so pioneers, we are not just settling. We're not settling with dusting off the memories. We're not settling in a comfort zone. We want more. We want to move forward. We want to take new territory. But it's going to require this new thinking. Right? This phone didn't happen by oldness of thinking. Steve Jobs had some new thinking, new thoughts, new ideas. They created something new. Amen? Taking new territory. Taking new territory. Enjoying newness of life. So, pioneers have the spirit of faith. And they take new territory by new thinking and then by speaking what they believe. The spirit of faith. the spirit of faith. David didn't kill Goliath because he didn't have any new thinking. He didn't have the spirit of faith. He had the spirit of faith. And he knew God helped him kill the lion and kill the bear, and this Goliath was no different than a lion or a bear. New thinking. New thinking. He'd never killed a giant before. But the new thinking was, if God is with me and helped me kill the lion, and God was with me and helped me kill the bear to protect my father's sheep, and I'm going to protect and defend the nation of Israel, God will take care of me and protect me, and I'll kill this giant. He will be no different than the lion and the bear, is what he told the king. He's speaking what he believes. He believes this, and he's telling the king. And then he went out there, and he told Goliath what he believed. Goliath starts talking. Like Mark Hankins says this, no one's talked back to Goliath since the third grade. Right? He's just a big bully. No one talked back to him since the third grade. And he's talking to David, and David interrupts him and starts talking back to him. Tell him, you think you're a big shot. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. And I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to cut your head off. I'm going to feed your carcass to the birds of the air and the carcass of the Philistines. And then he started running at the giant. Amen? So he had the spirit of faith, and it moved him into new territory. It moved him to experience newness of life. He had been anointed as king just a little while before this, a few chapters before that event. But he began getting, he had this new thought, and he began to take action on it. He believed and spoke. And from that point on, his ascension to king was very quick. His popularity, just as a commander in the army, exploded. And that's what got Saul furious, because they started, the popular song on the radio was, Saul killed his thousands and David killed his 10,000s. And he did not like that song. It made him furious. Take a new territory. Spirit of faith. Spirit of faith believes and speaks. Hallelujah. So we're going to talk about this, I think, the rest of the year, so we can live and enjoy and be able to testify at the end of this year, look what the Lord has done. Amen? Hallelujah. Newness of life, taking new territory. Ha! Glory to God.